This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, the easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The Phil's manager joins us now. Rob, thanks so much for hopping on this morning.
Thanks for having me. Jeez, Ruben, You're talking me up here. I hope I don't let anybody down.
Checks in the mail, I hope.
Well, Rob, thanks again so much for joining us this morning. And Rob, let's just start here. Rough loss last night, but this team playing so well over the last couple weeks. After that series against New York, first game in Chicago, what in your mind has led to the turnaround where the team has played so well in recent weeks?
Well, I think we're playing pretty well in all phases. You know, we're getting really good starting pitching. I think the bullpen's starting to come around a little bit. Offensively, we've been fairly consistent, and we're playing really good defense. So when you have that type of package, I think it's just, and with the talent that we have, it's just, it's a recipe for success.
Rob, before the season, Bryce said no more daycare and, you know, another year more mature for everyone. How has the team's identity evolved from last year to this year?
Well, I say it every year, but I think there's a little bit more focus this year on getting this thing done and getting to the end and getting over the finish line because, a lot of our guys have sour taste in their mouths from the last couple of years. But it's true what Bryce said, the Bohms and Stotts and Marshes of the world, they're now you can call them experienced players and they're acting like it. You know, Stotts doing a great job in the leadoff spot. Bohm is now, he's got his average up over 250, which is really good considering how he started.
I'll say.
And the same thing with Marsh. He's starting to swing the bat. He struck out in a pinch hit role last night. He struck out twice, but coming off the bench. But he's starting to swing the bat too. I think they're still having fun, but there's a focus there and there's a seriousness there that I haven't seen in the last couple of years.
There's a lot of talk on the outside about Bryce and his body language this year. I played in locker rooms where the sentiment was, hey, we're adult men. You can't really tell us how to be. You can tell us what to do, but not how to be. I wonder how challenging is it to monitor something like body language in another adult human being who's a professional athlete? I can't imagine how hard that must be, Rob.
Yeah, it's difficult, and I feel at times bad for Hart because he puts a lot of pressure on himself, and he expects so much out of himself, and he wants to lead this team and this organization and the city to a world championship. And so he's very hard on himself, and that's just who he is. And he's, I know everybody's talking about his body language this year, but it's been like that since he's been here and since he's been in the big leagues, really. When he struggles, it wears on him, and because he cares so much, and that's really all it is.
Phillies manager Rob Thompson joining us now. Phillies Fantastic Auction, your chance to have lunch with and watch batting practice with Rob Thompson, you and five of your friends. Also get a VIP tour of Citizens Bank Park. Bidding ends Sunday, May 18th at 3 p.m. And Rob, another guy right now who we're watching and is just playing some really good baseball is Kyle Schwarber. He's so locked in. How much fun is it for you as a manager to see when a player like Schwarber right now is going the way he's going?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, because he creates a lot of runs, whether he gets on base and he slugs. But the evolution of Kyle is really fascinating to me because you don't see it a whole lot. This is a slugger, pure slugger that has turned himself into a really dangerous hitter and pure hitter, really. And I think just, last year, after the 23 season, going into 24, he had decided to change his approach a little bit and really concentrate on using the left field side of the diamond to keep him on the baseball a little bit longer. So it's helped him against left-handed pitching. And right now he's in the zone, and he's been that way all year where he's just taking what they give him. If they want to nibble, if they want to pitch around him, he'll take his walks. He's not going to get out of the zone. And if they, if they want to pitch to him and they make a mistake, he's going to punish them. So he's really in a good spot now. I was worried about how he would react moving from the leadoff spot to the cleanup spot or hitting behind Harp anyway. But he's really taken to it, and he's having a huge year. He's going to end up with a ton of RBIs.
Hey, I was just wondering, more importantly, what about the Maple Leafs? Are you pretty fired up about them right now because they're back to 2-2?
I know. I'm a little bit nervous, but that's the whole fan base, because they're a very passionate fan base, and it's been, 50 years since they've won a Stanley Cup, so that they want it as bad as anything, and they've had. Recent history is they get knocked out early in the playoffs, so there's a lot of nervous people out there.
Hey, Rob, April 19th, I think it was, you floated the idea that Jordan Romano might be tipping something, and then it was 8 days later or so, the national TV guys mentioned the same thing, and now he looks really happy and he looks really good. What's different?
Well, and you never know whether you think you've got something. When a guy's tipping his pitch, you think you've got something. You don't really know because you look at a lot of different things. But I think he's just pitching better. He's got his velocity back up, and we used him a lot early. And that was my fault for doing that. He didn't pitch much last year, and I probably overworked him early, and he lost the plate a little bit. He lost his velocity. And so we gave him some rest. Now he's got the velocity back. He's attacking hitters. He's really confident. The slider is really good. So he's in a better place. So whether it was tipping or just the fact that he just needed some rest and was being overworked early, I don't know. But I just like where he's at right now.
Yeah. Taiwan Walker, I had outstanding. Did you see different stuff out of him when he came out of the bullpen? And is it likely that he'll get a more prominent role in the bullpen?
Yeah, in Tampa, the stuff really played up. He gave us the 3 innings and struck out 7. It really played up, and it was really intriguing to me. It makes you dream a little bit, that maybe this guy can be at the back end of your bullpen and really pitch in some high leverage situations because the the split really got better. The slider was good. It was commanding, and, you know, he was touching 94, 95. Right now, because, you know, we're still thinking about going to a six-man at some point just to give our starters some rest. We want to try to maintain that length, but at the same time, I'd really like to see him in a one-inning role and see if that stuff plays up even a little bit more.
Phillies manager Rob Thompson joining us now. And Rob, kind of an up and down start to the season for Aaron Nola. And I'm sure, you know, the numbers a lot different when Rafael Marchand is behind the plate compared to JT Realmuto. I'm sure you guys have looked into that quite a bit. But what goes into deciding which catcher pitches which pitcher?
It's really about JT's rest is what it comes down to. And, Marchand's probably going to catch Nola again on Wednesday. And now we've got some weather here, so I'm not sure when we're playing. But it's really about JT, and I have full confidence in Marchand. And Aaron's struggles have nothing to do with Marchand. Marchand's a really smart, really intelligent young man that does his homework. He works very closely with JT and the pitching coaches. It has nothing to do with his setup or how he catches the ball. I think that Knowles, just off to a little bit of a slow start, and he's going to get it going. But it really has nothing to do with Rafael.
So is that backup catcher position an ongoing evaluation? Is at what point is Garrett Stubbs an option who's, you know, compared to Rafael Marchand as a real option to be in the majors?
We have full confidence in Marchand. He's a really good player, as well as Garrett Stubbs is too. So we, you know, it's a good problem to have to have. Some catching depth, but that backup role, backup catcher role, is a very difficult role. It's like being a utility player. Same thing. You don't get to play a lot. You have to do a lot of extra work to keep your timing and your swing. And he ends up being a switch hitter, so he has to do double work. But it's a difficult role, and we've had no conversations about moving Marchand at all. He's a good player, and he's going to show it at some point.
And Rob, one more for you. You look at your starting rotation right now. Obviously, a major strength on this team. How much easier does it make your job knowing that pretty much every night you're going to get length and a good outing out of your starter?
Yeah, it makes it super easy. You know, we're very fortunate here to have. Really six good starters, because you got to put Taiwan into that mix too. We've got four of them, including Taiwan, that have an ERA under three. So, it's a great problem to have. It makes my job a lot easier, because you don't tax your bullpen as much. So it's good, and it makes the bullpen that much better.
Rob Thompson, Phillies manager. Phillies fantastic auction chance to bid on, have lunch and watch batting practice with the Phillies manager. And Rob, just one last one for you. How much do you enjoy this experience of kind of meeting up with the fans and getting to participate in an event like this?
I love it. The one thing about the Phillies organization is that, you know, it's all about the greater good. And they raise so much money for different organizations. And last year, we did the same thing last year with the having lunch and the tour of the ballpark and watching batting practice. And we had the EB Trucking Company. We had six guys from the company come in, and we just had a ball. We just sat there and ate lunch and took our time. And we did it at the ballpark here in our food room, and our chef cooked for us. And we just had a good time, and it was great to get to know them. I mean, we all know how passionate our fan base is, and they just love it, and great questions and great conversation. I really enjoy it. I really do.
Well, Rob, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and good luck tonight. Go get them.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
Rob. Take it easy. Rob Thompson, Phillies manager.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're the Surfside Invitational at Ramblewood Country Club. It's been a long time since the Sixers have picked in the lottery, and we had to start looking at all these different college guys and deciding which one we want. And we thought, who better to give us some insight on those players and more than Phil Martelli. Phil, we appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks for including me.
Of course. So, Coach, like, before we get into the players, what about just, I guess, your just general, like, overview of where you see the Sixers situation right now? You know, we've had a lot of conversation about maybe turning the page to whatever's next, still trying to light a fire under this. When you're just looking at the Sixers, what do you see?
That's a really good question. I just think when you're so incomplete, whether it's McCain's injury or Embiid's lack of availability, Paul George getting hurt, I just think you have to say, what is this? And if you said to me, would you run it back? I would run it back. I don't know that there's a player out there, and I don't know enough about the trades. Their new assistant GM will be on top of it, though. You can be sure to that.
Yeah, I know you approve of that hire.
They'll make sure things go straight. I think in that league, it's really building a new team each year. And I don't know that last year's team really had any kind of continuity to be judged. And obviously everybody will then say, well, then blow it up. And blow it up and do what? With whom? You know, Maxey wore down with the burden that he had to carry all year. I think that league is truly about having older players and guys who fit together. Can Paul George play with Embiid? I have no idea, and I don't think anybody out there has any idea if they can play together, because they didn't. And then you throw Maxey into the mix. It's a tough spot, though. I mean, it is clearly a tough spot, because everybody that is so passionate about 76er basketball has been through, you know, call it what it was, the process or the rebuild or however you want to term it. You have a guy that won a world championship on the sideline. You have a guy that was the MVP. There has to be something there. And I know it's hard to say, well, let's see it without changing it. Who are you going to get? You're going to get Giannis? You know, these pipe dreams of getting Giannis with, well, these trades, and I would run it back.
So we get the number three pick last night. I mean, what a moment in a night where we could have lost the pick completely. But I guess before we get to three, it seems like, well, there's consensus at Cooper Flagg at one, and it seems like there's some consensus with Dylan Harper at two. What do you think of those two guys?
Well, I think the marvel with Cooper Flagg is this. He should be going to prom, right? He should be going to high school graduation. He classed up at a time, you know, some would say, well, he wanted to be the clear number one. Well, he was clearly a number one and withstood any challenges at Duke. Broom at Auburn maybe was in the conversation for National Player of the Year. He was able to take his team to the Final Four, along with other gifted guys. I mean, whether they're going to have four guys drafted in the first round, so this wasn't the loaves and the fishes coaching job there. It was managing talent, which is hard enough to do. Flag is different. And I don't have a concern about Dylan Harper because of his DNA and how hard he works at the game. But just for a moment, if people could pause, somewhere on the checklist with him is his team did not make the NCAA tournament. Ace Bailey's team did not make the NCAA tournament. And we're well aware around here in Philadelphia, I hope, of a guy that was the number one, maybe he was number one, I don't remember. But his team didn't make the NCAA tournament, and he was a must-have after 1 year at LSU. How'd that work out?
Right.
Not good.
You're talking about Ben Simmons. And by the way, not to forget Markelle Fultz, yeah, also Markelle a number Fultz one, way, and yeah. his team, I think, was under 500.
Like, college basketball obviously has changed in that it's older because you had this collision course of the COVID year. Forget NIL. It's pay-for-play. We had pay-for-play, the COVID year, and availability to transfer. That this was an older year in college basketball. And I know they're both gifted. I saw Ace Bailey maybe two summers ago or three summers ago, going into his senior year in high school. He dominated. He dominated a USA basketball tryout. That's the best of the best, playing at the best, not some of this Mickey Mouse stuff with high school all-star games or even summer basketball. When they go to USA basketball, that's where you get a true evaluation of, like, what's the pecking order here? Ace Bailey was head and shoulders above everybody who was at that time a college freshman and a rising college high school senior. So it's there. Does a guy like that fit, or Dylan Harper fit? I don't know enough about that league, to be honest with you, but I do know, like, on their resume is did not make the NCAA tournament as a freshman.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing you bring up, because I was going to ask you about it, and we talk about it all the time, is how can you have, you know, I have a lot of Rutgers fans in my life, and they're pushing Ace. You got to take Ace Bailey, and I just go back to, well, they had two top five picks, and they couldn't even be 500, and they talked to me about how bad the rest of the team was, and I'm like, okay, but still, you know, it is a, I don't know if it's a red flag, but it's certainly a yellow.
It raises
one.
Your antennas.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of the other. Oh, go ahead.
Something to think about there, though, is, was that a byproduct of available funds? You know what I mean? Like, what were they attempting? And I'm not disparaging anybody. I'm just saying, were they trying to stay under a salary cap when you have to pay these two, you know, exorbitant fees for these two kids? And that, this is the thing that really irks me. Those two kids were rented for 35 games. How is that right? How can anybody in college basketball say, yeah, well, that's the way it is? It may be the way it is, but it's not the way it has to be. But that's a rant for another time.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's, I think if you were to ask everybody, do you think college players should be able to make money off of their names? I think all of us would say yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And no, but I don't think any of us imagined that it would end up like this, you know? And
absolutely, positively. And they came out with this idea, and here's what they did. They put you at the top of the hill. They said, get in the car and get to the bottom of the hill, and it's going to be unbelievable when you get to the bottom of the hill. But we want to tell you something. Your car has no brakes and no seatbelts. Good luck.
Right. Coach Phil Martelli with us. Phil, just one other guy I'd like to ask you about. We've heard a lot about Vijay Edgecombe from Baylor, who is really your prototypical two guard, you know. What do you think of that guy?
I'm going to go back to when he was coming through the ranks and you were watching him, and I try to close my eyes and say, well, who is he like? Who is he like in that league? And not just a roster guy. Look, they're all extraordinary. To make that league, you well know, they have to be absolutely extraordinary. But to be in a situation where a guy coming to the Sixers and you're going to say, look, we collective Philadelphia basketball fans cannot go through this again. And of all of these guys, Edgecombe, me, looks like that NBA two guard. You're absolutely right. He's got toughness, and I'm following some of this on the combine, like his supposedly out of world experience today was his vertical leap. Now I don't know how that matches up to like going into the garden, either garden. Either Madison Square or Boston Garden. I don't know how that measures up, you know, like how we measure these guys. How about being a basketball player? Is he a basketball player? He is, and he's a bucket getter, which I think separates you in that league.
Well, watching some of the highlights, I can tell you that vertical leap happens in the games because I see him jumping over guys to dunk on them. So, I don't think it's just a combine thing. Coach,
go ahead. Interesting about that. I've always thought about this, like these unbelievable dunks. They only show up with the rarest of guys in the NBA. Because you know what? There's a man standing down there who's going to go like, nah, not today.
Right.
You're not going to get me.
Last thing, Coach, and you mentioned it earlier, the Sixers promoted Jameer Nelson to assistant GM today. Now, what's it like for you to not just coach a guy through a successful college career, see him have an entire successful NBA career, and now move on to what looks to be the beginning of a successful, executive career? You must be proud. What's it like for you to see Jameer's entire life sort of evolve like that?
It makes me it gives me chills often when I talk to him. And the way that, and we're talking like every 3 or 4 days, and like all of those things. Yes, extraordinary player, Mount Rushmore of college players in Philadelphia, 14 years in the pros, and now he takes this path. And you know he came along and they said to him, "Well, figure out how you're going to do this in the G League," and he did, and he's the general manager. And isn't it ironic that 2 years ago they won the G League with Jameer Nelson as their general manager? G Chester High won a state championship. Why? Jameer Nelson was on the court. We were the number one team in the country. Why? Because we had Jameer and the others didn't. Now he's the GM. So choose your path. Choose your path. And always remember, like, this is a young guy from Curlin Street in Chester. And of all of the things that he's done professionally, the most extraordinary thing about Jameer Nelson that we should all follow is he is a remarkable father. A remarkable father.
Coach, we really appreciate your time. It'll be interesting to see what the Sixers do, whether they take somebody at three, whether they trade it, whatever they do. But it'll be fun looking at college players again to see which one will be on the Sixers. We really appreciate your time today.
Thanks for including me. Means
yes,
a lot.
Of course.
Thank
Coach.
You.
Yep. Coach Phil Martelli.
Cole Hamels joins us right now. Cole, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Cole, I'm curious, how has retired life been, and how has the transition been for you to start to do the media thing now?
Yeah, it didn't last very long. I think that's probably the funniest part is when people say, oh, I can't wait to retire, I can't wait to retire. And I know it's something that is, you know, for most, it's a goal and ambition, but as an athlete, it comes too quick. And so, you know, to stay mentally sharp and to just stay active is something that I've always enjoyed. And that's what I've really thought would be a really good transition would to stay in baseball. And mm-hmm. what better way than to come back to Philly, because Philly's, you know, always held a very special part in my life. And I hope I do for many Philadelphians. And it's just to give back and to express the knowledge that I have and see if I can help out some of the players there. There's a lot. I know this is a big transition and learning lesson for Phillies, and I'm super thankful NBC wanted to take me and give me, I guess, kind of that trial run and see if I can succeed at broadcasting. So it's a lot of learning, but I'm really excited about it.
So my question to you is this. Do you find it challenging, especially, you know, since you're so close to the players, to be somewhat critical at times, or how do you handle that part of it?
Absolutely. I think that's still the hardest part for me is I know how difficult the game of baseball is and the day in and day out grinds, and to live up to, you know, last year's statistics or your potential of what, you know, people put on you. There's a lot that's going on in players, and they want to be able to do well, and they want to do well for their fan base. They want to do well for their teammates. They want to live up to their contracts. So I do understand that. It's just the little things that you always have to stay with them. And I think that's something of a good teammate anyway, is when we're in the locker room and when things aren't going well, a good leader, a good teammate does get on guys and make sure that they're doing the little things and, you know, has those constructive criticisms, you know, allows them to have that, those comments that you know, the talks, that does happen. And so now I'm just kind of doing it in a different way, but I completely respect and understand what you have to do to be able to explain things to the fans. And, you know, not, you know, the Philly way, because I know I was a player. I got bashed, too. So it's just doing it in a different way.
Cole, you led me right to a question. I need to hear your thoughts on what you're seeing right now with Bryce Harper, because you mentioned about living up to the contract and playing to the level that we expect. And Bryce has been a great Philly, Cole. He really has lived up to everything here. But he's off to a tough start by his standards, well below where he typically is through 40 games, and his batting average is down. What have you seen? Do you think he's going to come out of this soon? What do you think is going on with Bryce? Because he hasn't been the Bryce we're used to so far this season.
Right, and that's kind of what happens. I think he's his biggest critic, and that sometimes when you put a ton of pressure on yourself to live up to what you're capable of or what you know you need to do for everybody else, sometimes you get out of your comfort zone. And so I think just for him, it's just a step back and to relax and know that he is one of the greatest baseball players of all time. I mean, the guy's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So I know he wants to win, and I know that's one of his big things is to win, and especially to win in Philadelphia. It's very important to him. So it's just simplifying a little bit and not getting out of the zone. You can see the stats. I mean, he's not seeing the fastball. And so for him, it's to look for the off speed that's in the zone, and anything that's out of the zone, let it go. I mean, walks are just as good. Look at Schwarber. I mean, getting on base is huge. Look how he's continuing to do it. You don't have to always get hit.
Cole Hamill is joining us here on the Midday Show. We're live from Citizens Bank Park today. Cole, what's been your reaction and your impression of the Phillies' newest starter, Jesus Luzardo, coming here from Miami? He's going to start the first game of this doubleheader today. He's been, just by the numbers, a revelation. And he was good in Miami a couple years ago, not as good last year with a back injury, but feels like we might have got a steal here in that trade. What have you thought watching Luzardo so far?
Oh, no, you have to really give credit to, you know, the front office for being able to follow him his whole career and just waiting to pounce, because he is. I think he was the type of player that you just – he was waiting to break out. And that is the toughest part about playing the game of baseball, is you want to get established, you want to get in the big leagues, but then you want to win. You want to have the opportunity to win. And there's something that when you know there's that expectation, you start to rise to it. And – you know, it was tough in Miami. There wasn't the expectation that they were going to win. So to get to a bigger market, big city that has all those expectations, has the type of players around him, he's now excelling. And that's, you're seeing the type of player that he probably has always been. He just wasn't able to have it come out. And now, I mean, he's lights out, and it's really great to watch.
You know what, Cole, I'm kind of curious, because before the season started, I think I saw you was on television somewhere. You were talking about Taijuan Walker and how excited you were for his stuff. What did you see in him when they were in Clearwater that made you think that he could start the season the way he started it so far?
He came in incredible shape. You could see his arm action was a lot better than it was in the past. And you could see the focus. And I think sometimes with any athlete is you can get out of sorts and you don't prepare as much. You just think it's going to naturally come. And as you get older and you start to get the wear and tear, you start to have to adjust. And I think last year was just an adjustment period for him. It's the hard part where you get humbled. And I think that's what happened. You can really see his focus and his desire to be better. And he has that expectation now, and he's going out there and putting up numbers.
Cole, you're talking about being retired and an analyst now and on TV, but I need you to go back to the frame of mind as being a pitcher. I'm wondering, if you were pitching, how would you attack Kyle Schwarber right now? Because it just feels like this guy gets better every year. And it used to be where lefties would get him. And most lefties, you know, a lefty could get them and you'd have that advantage. But now he crushes lefties. If you were facing Kyle Schwarber, how would you attack him? It seems like no one can get him out anymore.
I don't know if you want me to give this guy a report. I want Schwarber to hit home runs and do everything he can. I can say when I was facing him when he was with the Cubs, he was young. He had a lot of power, so we understood where his pop zone was. And if you avoid the pop zone, you know what? Take a single. He wasn't stealing as many bags. I know he can get them when you least expect it. But he's a guy that does a lot of damage, has a lot of slugs. So just avoid it. And for us, it was just really just kind of stay away or stay more in and just see if he was going to bite. And, you know, now you look at him, look how patient he is. He's taking his walks. Sometimes when you're young, you don't want to take your walks. And that was something we knew. So we're like, hey, let's just let him get himself out.
Cole, how would you handicap this division right now? The Mets are off to a great start, and it feels like this rivalry is coming back, you know, the way it was in the heyday with you guys against the Mets. You know, go back to 07, 08. The Mets are in first place. They're a few games up on the Phillies. Their pitching has been really good. They have Soto now. How do you handicap this again? Now the Braves are back to .500. NL East looks like it's going to be a really good division again this year.
I think it's the best thing for baseball. I love the Met-Philly rivalry, and that was something that – it was tough. I mean, they beat the crud out of me. They're a tough team, and that's the expectations that the Mets have. I mean, when you have a large payroll, you're going out getting some of the best players to ever play the game, and you're trying to put together a winning team. You want that because that's what creates the environment. It creates the excitement when those series happen. I mean, I think all players want to be on the big ESPN games. They want to be that focal point for the week. And now those series are starting to come back. You know, I love being able to go to New York, Shea Stadium, Citi Field, and see the intensity that Mets fans did not like us. And then it was vice versa when they came down. That was exciting. We looked forward to those series. So that's something you want to see. I'm happy. You can never count out the Braves. I mean, good God. They've always been a good team. They have some of the best players there too. So it's turning out to be a really good division that's going to come down to the wire.
It will. It usually does in the NL East. Phillies grabbed it last year, and they'll have to see the Mets again a lot down the stretch to try to take it from them this year. Cole, before we let you go, you got to tell us about what you have going on with the Phillies Fantastic Auction. It seems like a great opportunity here. You and a guest will have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to play a round of golf with you, Cole Hamels, at the Union League Liberty Golf Club. Tell us about this.
Yeah, no, I know. I've been trying to work on my golf game, so I don't know what to expect. I'm doing all right. But I think just to be able to give anybody an opportunity to just kind of play golf for about 3 to 4 hours, and it's a lot less stressful. I just being able to really talk to fans and, enjoy, the atmosphere of being outside and playing golf, talking baseball. That's something I think I've learned and a lot of my teammates have learned when we come back to Philly. These opportunities have been amazing. We've just been blessed to be able to play for such a great organization in a sports town. And now we get to, hopefully return the favor and talk shop and give some fun stories of what it was like when we were playing and winning. And, it's just a great perspective and, no better place than Union League golf course too.
So is that to say you don't take your golf game that serious, man? Because I know some cats that used to play here in Philadelphia, like Seth. They were talking about Seth yesterday. I was at a golf tournament. He is super intense. So you're not that it's not that serious for you?
No, I like to play. I mean, I'm a nine. So, I'm good, but I'm not great. And I'll just have my meltdown holes and I'll just laugh about it. I think it's something because I don't practice it. I can't take myself so seriously. If I was out grinding and then I'm putting up snowmen, then I would be probably pretty pissed. But, I can do really well and then I can just have absolute meltdowns and I just kind of laugh with it and just go with the flow.
Well, it sounds like a great experience. Round of golf for two with Cole Hamels. Philly's Fantastic Auction. The bidding goes from now until Sunday at 9 p.m. Cole, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes here. Enjoy today, and we're looking forward to hearing you more throughout the season on the broadcast. Thank you, Cole.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I look forward to hopefully 2 wins today.
Yes, need him to get another series here. Cole Hamels, World Series MVP 2008.
This segment, we welcome a phenomenal Philadelphia sports legend, one of the most beloved, obviously, in the history of both the Eagles and the city of Philadelphia. And let me tell you this.
I think we established the most beloved.
Well, no, so Doc and BJ and Jason Kelce, that's quite a fight for number one status. But I know this. They're all up there. And when the Eagles teamed up with Brian Dawkins in 1996, it went very, very well. It went very, very well. And WIP has teamed up with Brian Dawkins because we are happy to say that Doc is here today to talk about a golf tournament, the birds and more. And we welcome the legend, the Hall of Famer, the great Brian Dawkins. Good morning, Doc.
Yes, it is. I agree with you. It is a great morning.
Good, buddy, man. How are you? Good. How are you, bud?
I'm blessed, man. Healthy, thriving, all of those good things. So I'm blessed, brother.
You've always struck me as really positive. Like when you say good morning, you're making it's not the typical good morning, which is the regular greeting. You mean that, I think, in a deeper way, right?
Absolutely, because it is. Like, we woke up, right? You woke up this morning, you're out and about, and even if you don't like where you are in traffic right now, you're able to be in traffic, right? Yeah. So I just look at things through that lens. So
you actually like being in traffic? Like, you're actually positive enough that you can feel good while sitting on 76? Because I need to get to that point.
Yeah, Richie, rageous. You're rageous.
I have trouble with that.
All right, so what is the book that you're wanting to read?
Oh, geez. The book that I'm wanting to read, like, instead of sitting in traffic?
I'm saying listen to it while you're sitting in traffic.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's a purposeful. You can be growing while you're sitting in traffic.
Or listen to WIP.
But I'm fuming.
Absolutely.
I'm fuming, Doc. Like, I'm sitting there angry and shaking my fist at everyone instead of being productive.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Doug, what's it like to see John Ritchie talk show host on WIP? You guys played together for 2 years. What do you mean? I'm saddled with this guy. I mean, what do we make of Ritchie as a talk show host?
Well, we have switched. Or I don't want to. I'm not going to interrupt. I can't believe how he's a bodybuilder. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger compared to once upon a time. He was very big, and
you've shrunk, John.
I have gone the other way. I'm
shrunk.
Puny. He is massive. And once upon a time, I was much bigger than Brian.
Absolutely.
Not the case.
So, Brian, we got this tremendous event coming up. And it's coming up pretty soon, by the way, in June. So it's the Brian Dawkins, and you've always had great
charitable initiatives, and I really commend you for that. The Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament, which, Ben, you're going to be part of that
day. Yes, sir.
The Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at the Penn Oaks Golf Club, June 1st and 2nd. The tournament's going to tee off in the evening with a VIP reception. By the way, we are going to be broadcasting We the Afternoon Show, WIP, broadcasting that day with Spike, Ike, and Jack broadcasting their show that day. In the evening, a VIP reception, island field party, and a live online auction, live and online auction, on June 1st, the first day, for tickets to this great event. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you can be there. Hang with Dawk and the crew, all the celebs that will be there. For tickets to this great event, get yourself to briandawkins.com. That's briandawkins.com. Dawk, congrats on putting this together and getting your friends together to be there with the fans, man.
No, it's a blessing to be able to do these things, right? And first of all, it's the Stolfus structure, Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation Golf Tournament. So that's what it is.
Appreciate that.
And so, like, it's to be able to do what we're doing to bless the young people that we're being able to bless and the single parents with the programs that we have. We've been, you know, blessed to, you know, blessed, touch at least like close to 10,000 people at this point, both youth and single parents with some of the different programs that we have. And so that's what this golf tournament is all about, right? It's blessing those families, blessing those people in need here in Philadelphia. So when you come out to this particular event this year, though, there's a theme to it. There's a Hawaiian feel party, right?
That's your style.
And so the reason why that is because I was like, I remember going to the Pro Bowl, and the Pro Bowl used to be in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's felt different when you land in Hawaii.
That's a reward.
It's a reward.
It smells like flowers.
Yes.
They put a lei on you as you exit the plane.
Yes. So all of that. So I wanted to see if we can do and kind of duplicate some of the feeling that I felt by adding that to this year's theme. So when you pull into Penn Oaks, it won't be Penn Oaks as you have played in the past. It will be Penn Oaks as inspired by the Hawaiian vision of me playing in Hawaii. So I want to make it more of a destination wedding. That's not a wedding. Destination place.
Sure.
So when you come out, that's why the theme is the island field party.
That's fantastic. Again, briandawkins.com is the website. Obviously, a lot of celebs will be there. A lot of, you know, some of your buddies, right, from the team through the years, will be there.
Absolutely.
And what an opportunity. And again, we as a radio station, happy to be partnered up with this because Spike, Ike, and Jack will be broadcasting from there. And I'm sure they'll be having some of the guys on for interviews that day. It should be quite a day. Now, speaking of quite a day, dogs, it's about 3 months ago. Eagles had an all-time day. All right, let's get to Super Bowl 59. So we all swelled with pride. I mean, we all felt it. I got to imagine you felt it on a particularly deep level, to say the least. If you could, what was just going through your body and your mind watching the Eagles play probably better than the team, the organization has ever played? I think they were better than 2017. I don't think the team had ever played better to wallop the Chiefs, who were a heck of a team. What was the experience like for you watching that football game?
Well, the whole time I was like, okay, so I'm waiting on the run. So when is the run going to happen? Like, they're going to come back. They're going to do something that the momentum is going to shift some type of way. Something's going to happen to have them shift that momentum, and it didn't happen.
No.
So the whole second half, after halftime, that's what I was waiting for. And I was thinking, okay, so how are the Eagles going to respond when they begin to come back? And it never happened. And I was like, you guys to be kidding me, that they actually walloped the Super Bowl champions the way that they did. So I was extremely, number one, extremely proud of how they have endured during the season. Because if you listen to, I won't say everybody here in Philadelphia, there's a lot of individuals here in Philadelphia that weren't happy after the first like 5 weeks.
I was one of them. I was.
And obviously they weren't playing in a way that led you to think that they would get to that point. So I dig it. But the part that I love about it is I believe that there were some conversations, and, you know, we've been in those locker rooms, and you've been in those locker rooms as well, that you close the doors and sometimes you have tough conversations with one another about situations. And then when you come out of that thing, then you do things differently. To me, that's what happens, especially towards the middle and then the end of the season. Some tough conversations were had, right? Players, coaches, but player to player. And they decided as a team that this is what we're going to do going forward. And when they reached the playoffs, it was an absolutely different team. So what we saw is what happens when you deal with stuff during the season so that you can absolutely play your best ball at the end of the season. And that's what this team did. They played their absolute best game of the season. Yeah. Think about it, in the Super Bowl. That's exactly what you want.
How unusual is it to have to draft two cornerbacks who come in and actually give you solid play their rookie seasons?
Beyond solid.
Two rookies playing cornerback, playing it well. How rare is that, Doc? That's
extremely rare, because when you think about the position of cornerback, we call that the expressway, right? When you're on the cornerback, that's the expressway out there. Those guys, when they play that position, to be able to do that and to do it as a rookie and to do it in the National Football League, that is extremely, first of all, you have to have a certain mental space, that prepared mental space, that whatever comes my way, I got this. I don't care who it is. And they just so happen to have that. But one of the things that I love about these young men is, again, for me, I'm always looking for that. Okay, when somebody gets you, how do you respond? Mm-hmm. Like when you get beat, or someone, handles you a little bit on the football field, does that make your confidence crumble? And it didn't for them. And so when I saw that, I was like, yes, they got themselves some absolute dogs out there at the cornerback position.
Were you shocked how remarkable the defense was? I mean, you go back to this time last year. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When they decided to go in the direction of Vic Fangio, one of the things that I look back over his defenses over the last maybe 10 years, especially the last 5 years, what was the common thread in those defenses, right? The aggression, the accountability, the different ways that he would allow his players, right, to have freedom to do different things, right? And so when you have but the other thing I saw is I saw Jim, right? And when I say Jim, Jim was very demanding when it comes to his defense. Absolute demanding. Certain things that he would not hold back his tongue on, as far as, I'm just trying to be polite here, he would not hold back his tongue. Yep. And to me, that's an essence of also how Vic does things. But he then came into a camp with a whole bunch of young guys hungry for leadership, hungry to hear someone give them direction. And so they're able to take what other maybe veteran guys wouldn't be able to take. So kind of listening to some of the things happening in Miami, they weren't able to take some of the hard, I guess.
No.
A hard correction.
The coaching. The old school coaching.
Yeah.
So old school is like, I don't know, for me, that's a term that really carries a lot of positive benefits with it. We were talking about the cornerbacks we brought in. Cooper DeJean feels old school to me, but he was asked to do a lot of the things that you were asked to do. That it's crazy to me that the responsibility list that goes into what Cooper DeJean put out there last year. I thought more than anyone, like, you can relate. You must see many similarities in what he's being asked and what you were asked to do. How similar is it? How amazing is that? That commonality that you see displayed. You guys are doing a lot of the same things.
Absolutely, very similar in that respect of how he was used on the field. Now, he was used last year. He was used like I was in my first couple of years. Obviously, I didn't do it as well as he did. As far as I was basically the fourth corner on the field a lot of times, the way Emmett used me. So I was actually a cornerback in that regard. But he's able to do things. I was not as confident in who I was as he is, and you can see it.
Holy cow.
You can see the confidence.
Think about that.
Yes, as a rookie.
You were not as confident as Cooper DeJean as a rookie.
No.
I mean, Doc, it does feel as though you had that confidence thing pretty, like, wrapped up. Like, you kind of mastered that thing.
Yeah. When I got to probably, like, year three, yeah. Huh. The first year, no, I didn't. I've always tell people that I had to believe in Emmett's vision of me until I can come up with my own vision for myself. Wow. So I was going after things that Emmett said that I could do. I didn't know what I could do yet. But once I begin to say, okay, and what I mean by that is he would always correct me when I was doing good things. And I'm like, why is he always hard on me when I do good things? Because in his mind, I'm supposed to be doing this great thing. But when I finally recognized what he saw, and then I understood what I can do, I began to come up with the vision of who I am. So that's the confidence to me he already has. He knows what he can do. And so because of that, there's nobody that he got in front of that I can see that sent any shivers down his spine. I'll just say it like that. Any guy that he covered in the slot, and that's one of the hardest positions to play if you know anything about football, is the slot position. And so, again, he has the confidence in himself. Skill set, yes. But just because you have skill set does not mean you're going to always be confident to utilize the skill set, right? He just so happened to have both of those. And thank goodness he's an Eagle.
Unbelievable. Brian Dawkins in studio with us. Reminder, June 1st and 2nd, and that's coming up in just about 2.5 weeks. Big event. It's going to be tremendous golf outing, you know, Doc's golf outing and VIP reception, the island feel with the party, as Doc was saying, the Hawaiian sort of island feel, live and online auction. You can be there. BrianDawkins.com, the website. Get yourself there, BrianDawkins.com. Doc, we're going to get to some calls this hour, but let's also flip it to the offense. So the Saquon thing, I like to think of as the Saquon Barkley experience. I mean, it was bonkers. You were there for the 04-TO thing, you know. Obviously, two of the great, and there are others, don't get me wrong, but two of the greatest offensive Eagles players ever in their prime. What was it like for you as both a defender, as both an Eagle, as a Hall of Famer, to see a player, Saquon Barkley, play at that level and impact the team in those ways?
Well, all of that, what you said in describing me, you left out fan, right?
Yeah.
I'm a tremendous fan of the game as well. So for me to be able to sit back and watch, and I was also a part of the Eagles executive staff at that time. And so I remember, you know, one of the individuals that I scouted back in the day was Saquon.
When he was coming out of college, man. Yeah, right. Okay, I'm with you.
And so, you know, he was the top running back as far as my grade is concerned at that time. And so when you look at what he was doing already in college and what was expected of him when he got to the NFL, and it didn't pan out, and I believe it's because he was just so much demanding, his demands on him in with the Giants. Everything was going through him. It was kind of reminded me, not comparing him to Barry Sanders, but his plight reminded me of Barry Sanders back in the day.
And a lot of great backs have had that.
Yes.
Walter Payton early in his career.
Yes.
There's you know, O.J. Simpson was on bad Bills teams. I mean, it's happened quite a lot through the years.
So what you see and what we saw, what we saw in Saquon is this. He happened to come to a team that he does not have to be the man every week. We love that he became the man, right? But he does not have to be, because the offensive line, how they block and other things, the receiver core, Jalen at quarterback. So he doesn't have to necessarily be the guy every week. You know how much pressure that probably took off of his shoulders, that he can just be free and have fun playing a game, laughing and joking on the sideline, having a good time playing the game. And when anything in life, when you live life through that experience, you're free to just allow you to be. And that's when you begin to jump over people backwards, right?
Yeah.
You're just free, having a good time, playing, let your skill set show. But again, that came from him coming to this city, coming to this place, and coming to a franchise that, again, what we weren't demanding, we're not demanding that you do this. I'm pretty sure it's like, what do you like to do best? What are some of the things that you would love to be able to do? Hey, let's do some of those things.
Yeah.
And they did it. They did it.
It was unbelievable. Brian Dawkins with us here. So how about the Jalen? I'm sorry, Jalen.
Yeah, let's talk about Jalen. Yeah. We have a major problem on our show, Doc.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Joe.
Big time.
The camera does not tend to give Jalen the same I don't know, support and positivity.
Well, I don't think he's credit, belief.
I don't think he's as good as Saquon Barkley, but who am I? Who am I?
Right.
Underrates, I believe, is in a massive way. Yes.
And have already admitted that I underrated him a bit.
I try to convey to Joe how, I mean, like, backbreaking the concept is when you're playing against a quarterback who, like Jalen, can make you wrong when everyone's right. Jalen can do those things where it's third and long and the coverage is perfect, but he keeps the sticks moving anyway. Just crushes your soul as a defender. And I don't think Joe conceptualizes this in any way, and he continues to discredit.
Oh, that's too far. That's too far. I'm going to object, Your Honor. I'm going to object to that.
So here's the thing with Jalen. He was still growing, and he's still growing into the quarterback that we haven't seen
that's
yet.
That's very fair, right? Yeah.
So here's the thing. When you show me greatness, I expect greatness. That's just my mindset. When I watch film on myself, I was extremely brutal on how I graded myself after I came up with, you know, understanding who I was and what I could potentially do, the blessings that I had. So I was very demanding on me, right? So when I was not playing at a level that I thought that I should be playing or if I've shown in the past, I took that hard on myself. So when I look at Jalen, what Jalen has done is he flashed us in the first Super Bowl. Tremendous, right? So in my mind, that's what you should be doing every week. Mm-hmm. And when you're not doing that every week, like, so why can't we get that? Why can't we get that?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we get that? So it's for me, it's not you are, I don't bash Jalen when it comes to that. I don't bash him. I'm expecting him to take the next step, so that your weeks aren't fluctuating up and down so drastically, that you are consistently at a level that allows you to show the talent that you are and all the respects that you're talking about, to being mm-hmm. able to run the football when it needs to be run, knowing to making those decisions, putting the ball where it needs to be put. He's shown that, and he's done it now, not just in the first Super Bowl. He's shown it in the second one, too. So now this year coming up, like, I'm expecting a version of that, maybe not to that level, but a high version of that consistently throughout that year. That's what I'm expecting.
Brian Dawkins in studio. The Brian Dawkins. Dawkins studio with us right now. All right, we're going to get some calls in this segment. Time's yours and more. Let's also conclude, John. We got to get to our Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. An odd transition from Bob Marley to Pete Rose, but let's do these questions. All right, John, the first question. I got all the votes. Thousands of votes have come in. Do you think Pete Rose should get into the Hall of Fame in the next 10 years? John, how do people vote?
I'm going to say 54% say yes.
70% wow. say yes. All okay. right. Do the folks think he will get into the Hall of Fame in the next 10 years?
I'm going to guess no, that people are the other end of that. 30% think it will actually happen.
The number goes up.
You got to be kidding
75%
me.
75% say he will. Ben, will he horrendous next 10 years?
Yes, he'll get in.
I don't know. I'm not sure. James, is it going to get in?
Did they make him wait the 10?
Well, no, it's not like that. We're just saying he could have multiple opportunities.
I'm not as sure as Ben, but if I had to like bet my house on it, I would say he gets in within the 10 years.
We'll
but
say.
I don't feel as confident as Ben.
All right, talk with us in studio. Let's go to the phones here. Let's talk to Tom right now. Yo, Tom.
Yo, Joe. Thanks for getting me in, man.
Of course.
Hey, Weapon X, man, this is a big-time honor to be speaking to you. You know, the reason I'm so proud to be a Philadelphia Eagle fan is partly because of yourself. I hold you at number one. The way you carried yourself both on and off the field, tough as hell, always coming, bringing it heat, you know, and I appreciate the fact that you left everything out there every time. And I can't tell you, I'm 58 years old, besides a few people and my animals, my dogs, I love nothing more than the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm so proud of you. When you got in 2018 in the Hall of Fame, it was truly, I felt so great about it. Thank you so much. And I'm not trying to get all heavy here, but about 3.5 years ago, I was up against it with a health issue, and there were days where I didn't want to do the treatment. And I swear to you, I hope that I would be able to tell you this. I put tape of you in, and thank you for giving me the inspiration to go on, brother. I love you.
Wow. No, love you, brother. Love you. Wow. And thank you for fighting. Thank you for fighting. Thank you for fighting, brother.
Thank you for carrying yourself in nothing but the utmost manner and leaving everything out there every time. I can't tell you the respect that I garner for yourself.
That's tremendous, Tom. What a call. Tom, you can win the Metallica tickets. I don't even know how to move off that to Metallica, but give me a great scene. It's got weather in a movie or a show. Give me a scene, Tom.
Okay, Joe, I'm Keanu Reeves, and you're Patrick Swayze. I missed you in Fiji by about a week, but I knew you wouldn't miss the 50-year storm, Bodie.
The very, very, very end of Point Break. That's an interesting answer right there. I like
Let's him go. All the FBI, the CIA, whatever, all the people. He's go surf the wave, brother.
Wild. So, Doc, that concept of Tom's call, which was powerful right there and poignant, I've been around you enough. I've heard people approach you with these topics. And I talked to Brandon Graham about this recently because BG and I did an event last week. We were honoring Brandon upon his retirement. The weight, the responsibility that comes with people approaching you like that. Brandon told a story last week that there is someone who is alive, who has it in their will that when he dies, his family must have him buried in a Brandon Graham jersey. Yeah. I know you've had these types of things. What's it like? What's it like to have that impact on people's lives?
Well, first of all, it's extremely humbling to know that my life had that type of effect on people, that people have had their family members buried in my jersey. Like, I don't. It's to know that, again, the life that I've lived, the way that I've lived my life, had someone in those waning moments to say that that is something that they want to make sure that that happens. It's a humbling thing, but it's also something that pushes in me to continue to do what I'm doing and get better at it if I can. Like, if I can be a better me, I want to be a better me. And I just don't want to be a better me for just me. I want to be a better me for my family. But if I can be a better me, and that helps people like this that individual who just called, what is his name?
Tom.
Tom, thank you again for the call. To fight, to fight just with a passion, with a fervor, whatever comes my way. I don't care how bad it feels and how bad I don't want to do it. I'm going to continue to fight. If I can help people do that, and then they, are here for their loved ones a little, longer, then I'm going to continue to do it.
How long have you recognized that you have this power? I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, truly.
He's amazing, Mr. Miyagi to Daniel-san for the city of Philadelphia.
Amazing to be your teammate, to see the things that you could do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one.
You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Athletically. But this really is. I mean, it's profound the way that you impact everyone who's listening. The way that you played had such an effect.
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, I'm a man of faith. So that's the number one of how I go about doing what I do. And then I care for people, man. I really care. Like, I loved y'all. Like, as my teammates, I didn't just say it. Like, I went out and played the game the way that I played it because I love y'all to that point that I'm willing to do some of the dumb stuff that I would do to myself.
I get that.
Yeah. But and so even in the preparation during the week, certain things that I was wanting to do and going to do extra, why? Because I never wanted to be a liability. I always wanted to be someone that y'all can count on, fans, everybody can count on. And so when you live life through that lens that I'm constantly looking, like he was talking about earlier, being positive, that I'm always looking for the positive thing. I'm always looking for the nugget in the experience. Even I'm going through a tough situation, I always say, don't just go through it, you grow through it. So you're growing through your life's experiences. So that means that even in tough times, I'm looking for, okay, so what am I learning here? What am I gaining here? How can I use this to motivate myself to move forward, to do better, to be better? I'm not doing it for my teammates, like, you know, my teammates in the locker room anymore. But there are also people that are still listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth, right? So if I can then inspire them to live life through a different lens, to see life, their situation through a different lens, again, that allows them to go do things differently, I have to do that. If I don't do what I'm doing and live my life the way that I'm living with the wisdom I've been given, I believe I'm a selfish cat, right? Because there's some things that I do on a consistent basis that allows me to live this life in a joyous state. So if I keep that to myself and I don't share that with other people to allow them to potentially experience it for themselves, I'm a selfish dude, and I am not a selfish dude.
No, you're not. And let me tell you something, Doc, and I mean this so sincerely. Hall of Fame speech, my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen a moment in Philadelphia sports, and that's a part of Philadelphia sports. It wasn't a game, but it was part of the Philadelphia sports culture. I don't think I've ever seen anything in my 46 years that was more courageous or inspirational for 5, 10, 15 minutes than your speech at the Hall of Fame. I mean that.
No, thank you. And that was from the heart. That was,
I know, us.
That was 100% from the heart, brother.
We were well aware, man. Well aware. So let's talk about this upcoming season. And we're trying to fit as much as we can into this 1 hour. And reminder that, you know, Brian Dawkins, golf outing is coming up here. And give me the full name again. Can you say that?
The Stolfus Structure.
Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament.
Yes.
All right, so it's going to be at Penn Oaks Golf Club June 1st and 2nd. By the way, Joe and Hugh's show will broadcast from there. Spike, Ike, and Jack's show will broadcast from there. June 1st and 2nd is the tournament. Tee off with a VIP reception. It's going to have an island feel party, sort of a Hawaiian party feel. There's going to be auction items, obviously, to try to raise great money for the charity. And tickets for this are available, although I will just be the guy that says the obvious. They're going to sell out, ladies and gentlemen. So get yourself quickly to BrianDawkins.com, and I'll say this makes a great gift for someone else. Or it'd be like I would do. I just buy it for myself. I'm just joking. All right, Doc, I know you got the Eagles schedule in front of you. What's your reaction? I mean, there's a lot in there. It's a lot of tough. Now, the Eagles are bringing tough to the opponents, but there's a lot of tough opponents in there. What strikes you when you look at the Eagles schedule?
They have 17 games to play.
I would say 20.
There we go.
Good work there. There you go.
And I'm not counting the preseason. I'm not counting the preseason.
No, as of right now, what I see right now, they have 17 games to play. And they're going to play each one of those opponents one at a time. They're not going to play all of them at the same time. That's the way you look at it. So if you look at it and you look lump everything together, oh my goodness, they got it. No.
Daunting, yeah.
It's one overwhelming. It's one team. Matter of fact, if you want to, when you get the schedule, if you want to cover up every team besides the first team, if that helps you in your, I'm talking to whoever's listening to, if that helps you in your stress level, then just cover up all the other teams.
It does make it easier. I mean, every team I was ever on, that's the way we dealt with
it. Such a pros pro way of looking at it.
Yeah, and fans, we are very different. Seltzer Ria, we're very different here.
A little bit. Sports radio might sound a little different if we're like, all right, one game season. Let's talk about it.
I'm going to talk in coach speak from now on. All right, let's do what we do every single day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours. All right, time's yours. Thank you, Andy Rhea. We call this segment Time's Yours because, Andy, the whole deal. Time's Yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only. From Xfinity Mobile, let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Brian Dawkins was more than just an Eagles player, man. He was the heartbeat of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was the hammer in our shield, man, the protector of the turf, the punisher of the brave who dared to cross the middle. He could cover like a corner, hit like a linebacker, he led like a general. He didn't play defense. Brian Dawkins commanded defense.
Love it. And Algie Crumpler's still feeling that hit, right, Talk, 20 years later?
I feel bad for Algie, man. Like, seriously, like, everybody... That's what he's known for in Philadelphia.
And he was a pretty good player.
He was a good tight end, too.
Brian Dawkins, the first time I met you was after the Super Bowl at the 2005 Pro Bowl. You did an interview with me for Armed Forces Networks when I was in the Navy. Signed my jersey. I remember standing there with you on the field. And there I am wearing that signed Brian Dawkins jersey before Super Bowl 59. Go Birds. You're my favorite Eagle. Love you, man.
That's good stuff, man. That's man. Good.
Brian Dawkins, you are the reason why me and my nephews got season tickets. Your on-the-field work ethic is second to none. You're my favorite Eagle of all time. I've worn your jerseys since you've been there and still do to this day. You're an example of what a human should be off the field. And I raised my son pointing to you and looking at you saying, that's the type of human being you should be. Love you, Brian. Love you.
Wow. Wow.
Shout out to the great Brian Dawkins, Hall of Famer, my all-time favorite Eagle. Thanks for everything, Doc. I just want you to know I have a son going into high school and a daughter going to middle school, and I use one of your quotes all the time with them, and it really resonates. Respect is not given. It is earned. Go Birds.
Love it. Doc, and we keep playing these forever. That's good. That's good batch right there. We appreciate people stepping up with those calls. Sorry we can't play them all, but thanks, everyone, the call time is yours. With that, let's shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, so, Doc, how about this fact? Big Red obviously smoked in his last game. I mean, demolished, as we touched on earlier. But how about the fact that Big Red, your guy, your coach, your whole time here. One of your two coaches here. He's got, like, a really good shot to have the all-time record in a few years.
Yes.
He's probably going to get it.
Yeah. And so it does not, number one, it does not surprise me.
Yep.
And I know his tenure here was rough because we could never get over the hump.
It wasn't rough. That's not the right word. It was
a big one.
It had rough moments. But you guys, Doc, let me just say this. I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah,
but you guys gave us so much, man. I hope, I hope you know. That's the way I view it. It's the way most people view it. Yes, there were down moments. Losing to Tampa Bay was a bummer. Carolina, we can go on down the line. But, I mean, my God, you guys achieved so much. I hope. You know that.
Yeah. So what I was about to say was, in the eyes of some, right, not the majority,
yeah,
that was his tenure here, but it wasn't. Like, we were a winning fan franchise. What we did, what he brought, the organization, what they brought in with Andy Reid and the coaching staff with obviously Jim Johnson is they took a group of individuals coming off of some tough times under Ray Rose, but we had bonded together as teammates because of those tough times. We were bonded together.
And the D was set by 98. You guys were established.
Right. And so once they got us, Andy and Jim got us and gave us some direction and all of those things, then it took off pretty quickly. And we became a team that every year we expected to not just be in the playoffs. We expected to go deep into playoffs. Right. And so that is the foundation that the Eagles teams after that have been building off of, right? And so now we get to the space now that we just don't get to the playoffs. We just don't go deep into the playoffs. We win the doggone big game. So again, I'm proud to be a part of the foundation of that, you know, era, if you will, of the winning here in Philadelphia to the way that we did it, to the point that, again, we're expected every year to be running and chasing that trophy and have a legit chance at it. Not because everybody in the league has that mindset in the beginning, but there's maybe people will tell you like maybe 4 to 5 teams that have realistic chances, and we were consistently one of those teams.
No question. We got very limited time here. Let's just do one or two quick things. Sirianni, do you know him? Your relationship with him? What's it like?
I love the growth I've seen in him from day one to where he is right now. You can see it. He's more comfortable in who he is. I believe he knows who he is now. I believe he knows his strengths. He's worked on his weaknesses, right? And he's a completely different coach now than he was when he first came here. And that's a great thing.
Yeah. I'll wrap with this. Well, first off, real quick before that, we got to award the winner for the prize for best scene, John, in a movie or show with crazy weather. All right, let's come up with a winning. So is it The Wizard of Oz Tornado? I mean, that's a pretty big one.
I think that's, that's as chock and strong.
I mean, Back to the Future, Clock Tower's big. Castaway Plane's nice.
Too.
You got some Jurassic Park in here. You got Singing in the Rain.
And that's a big one.
I think it's
Wizard of Oz.
Seltzer, Wizard of Oz?
Sure, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, you're not.
Sure, you know. I probably would have gone back to the future Jurassic Park, but that's fine. I'm fine with
the Wizard of Oz.
It's fine.
All right, congratulations.
I feel like we go a little Wizard of Oz heavy on this show, but it's fine.
Guys, it's a classic. Which of these others is also in the top 5 movies of all time? I'm just saying. You want to
Jurassic Park is higher on my personal list than Wizard of Oz.
Well,
without a doubt,
I would call you a dummy, but Brian Dawkins is telling me that's rude. I'm not supposed to talk that way to people. Talk two things. Congratulations on all you've done.
Thank you.
And who you are.
Thank you.
And thank you for who you are and all you've done. Because we love you. And I mean that. We really do.
Feeling is mutual, brother.
I don't know who would win the steel cage match of most beloved Eagle between you, Kelsey, and Brandon Graham. And someday you might need to get in there. Because, John, that's a tough one.
I think Doc's got it.
But man.
Be truthful.
I'll say this. You're an all-timer, Doc. Thanks for everything you've done, man. No. And listen, reminder to everyone, this great golf outing is coming up June 1st and 2nd. Get yourself there. Tickets will obviously sell out. So BrianDawkins.com is the website. I encourage you to get there soon. BrianDawkins.com for tickets.
And auction as well. Make sure to check out the auction, please.
And it's raising money for?
Yes, the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation, right, for the youth and the single parents here in Philadelphia.
Awesome. No better cause. Doc, stay well, man. Thanks for being here today. Let's talk to a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. He was a great Flyer for 10 seasons. To talk about another great Flyer, Rick Tocchet, of course, now the Flyers head coach, and he was a Flyer for 11 seasons. Mark Recchi still holds the Flyers single season record for most points ever scored in a Flyer season. Phenomenal player, won some cups, one of our all-time fan favorites. To talk about another of our all-time fan favorites, let's welcome the Hall of Famer, Mark Recchi. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Great.
Mark, wonderful to have you on the program and back here on WIP. I mean, we're trying to get the Flyers back. By the way, the Flyers are trying to get themselves back, and obviously they've made moves over the last few years to, you know, shake up the management and get that whole thing going. You know Tock well. You play with him for a couple years. He's your buddy. Tell us your reaction to this fact. Rick Tocchet, Mark Recchi. Rick Tocchet is the Flyers head coach. What's your reaction?
Well, I'm excited, really excited. I actually, when I heard he wasn't going back to Vancouver, I was like, oh man, this might be a perfect fit.
Yep.
And what great timing, you know, with everything. And so excited and happy for him, happy for the Flyers. I mean, you know, Jonesy and Danny and Mr. Helfferty, they're trying to do the right things here and get this organization back on track, when I think they're doing a terrific job. And by hiring Tock, I think just,
you know, solidifies a lot of things for the organization, and it's really exciting.
You know, Mark, one of the things to me that always stood out with Rick's career is that we all admired him. You know, kind of athlete, never took a shift off, worked hard, fought hard, skated hard, you know, skilled, admirable player. Those traits that he exhibited as a player, how do you think they translate to him now as the head coach of the team?
Well, I you know, I was very fortunate to be, you know, when he was the assistant coach here, I was part of player development for the Penguins at the time. And so I was around him a lot. I lived here. So I lived in Pittsburgh. And so I was able to see how he handled players and how passionate he was about coaching. And he took that same passion as he did as a player and right into coaching. And he communicates very well. There's no BS. You're going to know how exactly what's going on in his mind. He's going to tell you the truth. He's going to be honest with you. And, you know, I think that's a great trait. And, you know, there's no BS with him. And these young guys and the veterans on the team, they're going to truly appreciate it. And they're going to know every day what he's thinking and how he's feeling. And that's really important. And especially nowadays, the younger guys, they need a lot more communication than we probably did when we played. So, you know, I think talk's just a perfect fit for this. And you know, this transition where, you know, they're still rebuilding, but, you know, at the same time, you still want to be, you know, want to have start having some success. And I think this is a perfect situation for talk where he can bring kind of the combination of development and get the veterans and get them on board and have an honest conversations with them and get them going in the right direction.
Mark, you hear a lot about how it's hard for a good player to be a good coach at times. And you also hear about, you know, players, athletes, the modern athlete has changed. When we look at other sports, we feel, you know, it definitely feels like sports other than hockey, you've got some prima donnas more than in hockey. But I mean, I'm sure guys are changing in hockey too. I know they're straightforward. I know they're tough, but, how much have hockey players changed since you played, and how hard is it to connect with the current players, comparatively speaking?
Yeah, you know what? It has changed quite a bit. There's a lot more involved now. They all got skills coaches. They all got, you know, their agents are very involved in their you know, everyday lives now. You know, and so it has changed somewhat, but at the same time, the dressing room keeps you pretty grounded for the most part. And, you know, I don't see it. It hasn't changed significantly, but it's definitely been a little bit of a change, which is fine. It's the evolution of, you know, growing up you know, the times. And we just got, you know, with talk, I mean, he has a young, you know, a son who's, you know, in his 20s now. So he's grown up. He knows how to manage these young guys, and he knows what it's going to take. He had some in Vancouver, he had some in Phoenix, and I'm sure he's going to draw on all those, you know, experiences and just get, you know, just grow with these guys. And I mean that, you know, this is a huge time for the Flyers right now. They got a lot of great, great young players coming up. This draft year is huge. You know, talk's going to be, you know, get a lot more young guys and, you know, and then, you know, we just got to, you know, you got to work together and coordinate with the veterans and get them all on the same page. And I think, when you do that, when you build a culture in the dressing room, it just makes it easier where you don't get those agents involved as much or, you know, the skills coaches involved and the skating coaches. It's the Philadelphia Flyers, and this is how we're going to do it.
One of the great Flyers ever, Mark Recchi, with us right now here on WIP. You know, Mark, we haven't talked to you, at least, you know, certainly on our show we haven't, since you went into the Hall of Fame a few years back. What was that experience? I mean, first off, congratulations, obviously. Yeah. And what was it like to get that honor and have that experience of going into the Hall of Fame?
Well, it was what an incredible weekend and just a few months going up to it even. You know, I never expected it. I mean, it was just an icing on the cake of a career. I absolutely enjoyed it and loved playing hockey and being part of different organizations. And, you know, to be able to do that and then, you know, get in and just with all these peers and, you know, Ryan Trotche was one of my favorite, you know, players growing up.
Sure.
And he hands me the, you know, the plaque and, you know, just those special moments that you never forget. And so it was just an amazing weekend. They do an unbelievable job with it. And, you know, I went in with a great class and you know, it was exciting times. I can't believe it's been 8 years now already. So it's amazing how quick it goes.
You played 22 seasons. How creaky do you feel at the end of playing hockey for 22 seasons?
Oh, I still feel good. No, I don't. I'm still going along pretty good. So, you know, nothing too crazy. You know, I don't go crazy. And I'm not going out there doing sprints or anything anymore, but try and keep active. I still play in a bunch of charity events and get on the ice as much as I can over the course of the year. And, you know, I still have fun doing that. And, you know, I just keep enjoying it. And, you know, hopefully it'll, you know, hang on for a little while longer.
Love it. You know, Mark, and I say this with absolute all due respect and reverence to you, I'm rooting for someone to break your record of points in a season for the Flyers. I mean, I need better players, and I want someone to break your record.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, if Michkov keeps developing and growing, what a player he's, you know, I think you could see a player like him. I hope, you know, I hope it happens sooner than later here, though, because that means they're taking the right steps here and everything's going very well.
Well, Mark, let me say this, man. I really appreciate, as a Flyers fan, that you're still connected to the organization. You know, some teams in town do that well. Some teams don't do it as well. And the fact that so many of you, through so many decades now, and obviously the group from the 70s in particular exemplifies that because it's a, you know, 50-plus year connection. But the fact that so many of you guys are still so connected is something that we, as sports fans and as Flyers fans, both appreciate and enjoy. Obviously, congrats on what was a spectacular career and lending, you know, perspective on Rick now being the head coach. And we're psyched to have you on. Mark, our very best to you, man. And I'll say these three words. Let's go Flyers. Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, there he is, the Hall of Famer, Mark Recchi. That was pretty cool.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.